May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A few years ago, I was living in Emery House, one of our two houses in our society. It's a beautiful country place in the north of Massachusetts. And it was one evening, and I had a phone call. And it was a phone call from a rather agitated church warden saying, "Oh, help! Can you send one of the brothers? The rector is ill," and it was Saturday night, "and can you come and take the service tomorrow?" I thought, well, yeah, I'll come. And she said, "Oh, great." She said, now you're coming, actually, could you also do some baptisms while you're there as well?" You know, the sort of thing. They go, right. Oh, you, and I said, "Yes, certainly, no problem." I put the phone down, and I thought, I'd only been in this country a couple of years. And I'd never done a baptism or been to a baptism in this country. So I got the American prayer book out to read it so that when I turned up, it looked as if I knew what I was doing, which helped. And I read through it, and I came across these wonderful words, which didn't appear in the English prayer book. And they're words during the baptism service, where it says the bishop or priest marks the person's forehead with the sign of the cross and says, "John, Mary, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever." And it's those words that stood off the page to me. You are marked as Christ's own forever. And those words made me think right back to my own ordination, which was in Salisbury Cathedral in England. And I was ordained to be a curate on the south coast of England, in Weymouth and Portland, if you know where that is. Portland's quite famous. Portland Harbour is where all the ships were ready for D-Day, for the D-Day landings. They were all in the harbour there. But Portland's also famous, the island of Portland, for its stone. Portland stone has for centuries been used for building. It's a very strong stone, but it's also relatively easy to cut and mold. And buildings throughout the world have used Portland stone, such as the UN building in New York. And it was also used by Sir Christopher Wren for building St. Paul's Cathedral in London. And Christopher Wren and his helpers would come down from London to Portland, and they would walk around the stone quarries on Portland. And as Christopher Wren walked, he walked as a master craftsman. He had in his mind the plan for this great building, St. Paul's Cathedral. And the plan was in his head, and as he walked, and as he walked among the stones, he would see a stone, and in his mind, he would see where that particular shape and quality of stone would have its place in this huge master plan that he had. And when he saw the stone, he marked it. He marked it with a particular mark which he understood. It was a stone that he chose for a particular purpose, a particular place in his vision for his great building. In our reading from the first letter of Peter today, we heard these words: "Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house." Like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. This morning we come to this Eucharist towards the end of this retreat, together, bound together, and preparing to receive our Lord in bread and wine. And we come to celebrate the fact and the wonder that each of us, each one of us, has been marked. We are marked men and women, but marked with love. Firstly and primarily and most fundamentally, each one of us was marked as Christ's own in our baptism. But secondly, we who are priests, deacons, bishops, stand before this great and awesome mystery that within God's master plan for God's kingdom, he has chosen, deliberately chosen, and marked you and you and you and me to serve as ordained ministers, marked us out to the holy privilege of being stewards of God's mysteries, stewards of God's word and sacraments. Why did he choose you? Why did he choose me? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you, God said to Jeremiah. And today we hear God saying that to us. Before I formed you in the womb, before I knew you and before you were born, I consecrated you. I consecrated you. And that is a mystery which we do well to stay with and ponder. That the Holy God has marked me and marked you to lead, to minister, to shepherd, to build up in faith and love God's holy nation, God's own people. A cause for awe and thanksgiving. That image from St. Peter that we are living stones being built into a spiritual house. But we're not just any old stone. The master builder has marked each one of you to take a unique place in God's building. And your shape is not like anybody else's shape. You're unique. But you're just right. Otherwise, God would not have marked you out for the place that you have been given in God's creation. I wonder what, I won't ask you to say, but I wonder what kind of stone, what kind of shape you think of yourself as being. And I wonder what kind of, what you think your shape seems to be made for. How do you think of yourself in terms of your of who you are, and your gifts, your shape, everything that makes you who you are? What kind of stone are you in God's plan? I wonder why God chose you and your particular shape. Of course, we tend to look around and look at others and think, I wish I was more that shape. I wish I was more like her. She's so much more confident than me. Well, he's much more gifted. Ministry just seems to come so easily, and everyone loves them. And, oh, dear, I wish it wasn't my shape. I wish I was your shape. Life would be a whole lot easier. Yet God says, no, I marked you, just as you are, for a particular purpose. And part of your life and ministry is actually discovering what that purpose is. Part of our life and ministry is about taking risks. And in taking those risks, we unwrap gifts that we hardly knew we had. And that God seems to delight in inviting us to take a step of faith where we think, I don't think I'm the right shape for this at all. And that wonderful discovery of, wow, I did it. And wow, I'm gifted in these ways that I had no idea. And I imagine God, like a parent, absolutely delighting in those discoveries of just what a wonderful shape we are. So our gifts are unique. Our place in God's structure is unique. I wonder how, as you look back on your ministry so far, I wonder how you have been hewn and molded over these years. What's it felt like? Have you felt that the years of ministry have gently formed you and molded you and rather beautifully chiseled you? Like a very fine stone? Or do you feel more like that you've been broken and hammered? Jesus was very aware of how hard life would be for those whom he chose. And as our gospel today, we heard a part of that great high priestly prayer, which whenever I hear it, and as it was read this morning, I always feel sort of thing going up my spine. There's something extraordinary about those words addressed to us. Jesus praying to his Father for us. And you hear how much Jesus loves us and sort of longs to care for us. Protect them, he says. Protect them and guard them. Protect them from the evil one. As Jesus prepares to return to his Father, like a loving shepherd, he commends his beloved sheep to the protection of the Father. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I am asking you to protect them. To protect them. Being called to leadership in God's church today is hugely challenging and, frankly, pretty heroic a lot of the time. To remain faithful to Christ in a world which is sometimes hostile or just indifferent a lot of the time is very, very hard. And the prayer of Jesus acknowledges that. But running right through this whole discourse of Jesus is a little Greek word, chara, and it's a word which we translate as joy. Joy. I tell you, Jesus says, I tell you, your sadness will turn to joy. And Jesus says, no one will take your joy from you. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be complete. And in the passage we've just heard, I speak these things that they may have my joy that they may have my joy. Well, I wonder what your experience of joy is right now in your life and ministry. In its root, it means to have a deep sense of delight, literally for the heart to feel very well. Does your heart feel very well? That's what the gift of joy is about. And sometimes, I guess, that sense of joy can sometimes feel rather rare. In the New Testament, chara is a precious gift of the Holy Spirit. And it is promised continually to us as a gift, not something we need to somehow earn, but as a gift. You'll remember, and you'll love, if you like me, you will love Paul's letter to the Philippians, that very short letter written from a man who is imprisoned, is probably thinks he's about to be executed. And yet, if you go through that letter and count up the number of times the word joy occurs, it's just all the way through it. Paul is filled with joy, and it's got nothing to do with his outward circumstances. What's the matter with this man? How can he feel joy? Because joy is nothing to do with externals. It's a supernatural gift from God. And it just bubbles up within us like a living stream of water. But we do need to ask for it. God loves us to ask, and he loves to give. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's that great culmination of the letter to the Philippians. And so perhaps the invitation to us is to put out our hands and claim the gift of joy, which is ours. Where there is the Holy Spirit, there is joy, says Seraphim of Sarov. Where there is the Holy Spirit, there is joy. The hallmark of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I speak these things that you may have joy, that you may have my joy. It's Jesus' joy that he longs to share with us. Claim that gift. Ask Jesus for the gift of joy, that your heart may feel very well. So, as we come toward the end of our retreat time together, our readings invite us to marvel at God's wonderful grace in choosing us, in marking us out. We come with awe and wonder and thanksgiving that God has chosen us to be leaders in God's church, to be stewards of the mysteries of God, to be ministers of God's word and sacraments. We come acknowledging our brokenness, the burdens that we bear, the sufferings we share in carrying out this sacred calling. And we come with our hands outstretched, asking for the gifts that God has for us, for the gift of joy which Christ has promised to us, because it is his joy which he longs to share with us. Joy will not spare you suffering, nor did it Jesus. We are not spared the cross, we share the cross, but we also share the joy that follows as we strive both to proclaim and live the Paschal mystery. So may joy give you a place in your heart to be well, to be passionately alive, even amidst the changes and chances of this life. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.